Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that baptism is a command of the Lord and is essential to salvation? Perhaps some man has taught otherwise, but you should listen to the word of the Lord. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commanded, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In Mark's account of the Great Commission, we are told, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16:16. On the day of Pentecost, when thousands believed the apostles' preaching and asked what to do, Peter declared, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. When Peter preached to the first Gentiles at the house of Cornelius, it is recorded, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 10:48. After Saul of Tarsus had witnessed the Lord on the road to Damascus, he went into the city and had been instructed as the Lord would give him information. There he was told what he must do to be saved. God then sent a preacher to him with this divine command, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Acts 22:16. Beloved, was baptism necessary for Saul of Tarsus? In his first inspired epistle, the Apostle Peter wrote, "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3:21. The Apostle Paul wrote many passages concerning the necessity of baptism. In his Galatian epistle, he links together faith and baptism, as he explains, "For we are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. These scriptures and many others that we shall observe later emphasize the importance of baptism, how that it is a command of Christ, and therefore obviously necessary if we should be submissive to his will. No command from our Lord can be called unimportant or unnecessary, much less one that is so repeatedly emphasized throughout the entire New Testament. Obedience to the gospel of Christ is essential to salvation. Paul declared in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The Apostle Peter declared, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God." 1 Peter 1:22-23. In Hebrews 5:9, it is affirmed that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. From these scriptures, it will be observed that obedience to the gospel is imperative. The serious consequences of not obeying the gospel is revealed in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Paul declared that Jesus is coming in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. My friends, baptism is a part of the gospel. Christ, the author of salvation, made baptism a part of the gospel. Therefore, baptism is essential to salvation. As I have already read to you from Matthew 28:19-20, Christ commissioned the disciples to preach the gospel of salvation, which includes baptism in water. He said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, I know I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus predicates man's salvation upon certain conditions. He commanded, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The gospel must be believed, and the believer must be baptized. There is no case of conversion in the book of conversions, the Acts, where one obeyed the gospel without being baptized into Christ. There is no exception. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? In every case, they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, and they were baptized as commanded by the Lord. Obedience to the gospel is essential to salvation. Baptism is a part of the gospel, therefore, baptism is essential to salvation. The command of Christ, to which reference has been made, when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, is a complex declarative sentence. He shall be saved. But who shall be saved? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, is the solemn declaration of our Lord. Christ did not say, he that is baptized shall be saved. Neither did he say, he that believeth shall be saved. But he did say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My friends, where is the teacher who would be willing to add just one word, the word not, to the Lord's divine injunction of Mark 16:16? Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who would dare add the word not, as if to make the Lord say, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved? Yet, that is exactly what is being done by many religious leaders today. If baptism is non-essential, then the Lord Jesus didn't mean what he said in Mark 16:16 when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Someone would have it read, however, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. Beloved, don't you know that such is a perversion of the Word of God? Don't you know that the curse of Almighty God rests upon any man who would pervert the gospel of Christ? Read Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Would anyone dare to pervert the Lord's command and seek to offer salvation less than that required by the Lord? Suppose a salesman is working for one in a store, and he is informed, here is an article that must sell for $25. The price tag is plainly marked $25. But the salesman sells the article for $10, knowing that the price of the article is $25. Now that is being done today by dishonest salesmen in some stores. Would you not consider this an act of dishonesty? Obviously, the owner of the store could sell the article for $10 if he desired. But if a salesperson sold the article for less than the stipulated price of $25, without authority to do so, that would be nothing short of dishonesty or theft. Jesus Christ offered salvation to those who believe and are baptized. By his authority, salvation must be offered on the condition, and I quote Jesus, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Should one offer salvation for less than the requirements given by the Lord? Would not such a proposal be dishonest? How can any man proclaim salvation on the basis of less terms than those affixed by Christ, who is the author of eternal salvation? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, nothing less will be sufficient. How many baptisms are there? Did you know that the Apostle Paul stated conclusively that there is one baptism? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. In the same passage where Paul said there is one Lord, he affirmed that there is one baptism. The one baptism to which the Apostle referred surely was the baptism authorized by Christ when he gave the Great Commission, as recorded in Matthew 28:19-20 and Mark 16:15-16. The administrators of the one baptism were to be the disciples of Christ, not Christ himself, not the Holy Spirit, but Christ's disciples. The one baptism was begun to be taught and practiced on Pentecost when Peter commanded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 2:38. Just before Jesus returned to the Father in heaven, he announced that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Luke 24:47-48. All things must have a beginning. The one baptism had its beginning in Jerusalem because the preaching of the remission of sins in the name of Christ among all nations originated on this memorable day, the first Pentecost after the Lord's resurrection, in the city of Jerusalem. Since baptism was for the remission of sins, and remission of sins was to be preached in Christ's name beginning at Jerusalem, the inevitable conclusion must follow that the one baptism was for the remission of sins and had its beginning in Jerusalem on Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. The purpose of the one baptism was to be saved, as you read in Mark 16:16, for remission of sins, as you read in Acts 2:38, to wash away thy sins, Acts 22:16, to put one into Christ, Galatians 3:27, and to save us, declared the inspired apostle in 1 Peter 3:21. Do you ask, why be baptized? One may as well ask, why be saved? There can be no doubt that the one baptism is water baptism. When the Ethiopian officer was baptized, he requested, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Having confessed his faith in the Son of God, the Bible says, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8:36-39. The inspired Apostle Peter, who commanded the 3,000 to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, testified that the one baptism was water baptism. To these same people identified in Acts 2:9-11, 1 Peter 1:1, he referred to the saving of Noah's family as 8 souls were saved by water, and concluded, "The like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us." 1 Peter 3:20-21. All Bible students are aware of the fact that the New Testament refers to more baptisms than the one baptism, as expressed in Ephesians 4:5. But there is no contradiction. Let us briefly consider other baptisms of the New Testament. And I say, are you listening? The baptism of John was called John's baptism, Acts 19:3, because it was John's baptism. He was the administrator, and it was done by his authority. Multitudes were baptized of him in the Jordan, as we read in Matthew 3:5-6. The purpose of John's baptism was preparatory for the coming of the Christ. He baptized there where there was much water, as you read in John 3:23, and unto repentance, saying that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Matthew 3:11, Acts 19:3-4. My friends, don't you know that John's baptism is no longer valid, since the one baptism authorized by Christ was begun? In Acts 19, in the first 5 verses, we have the record of the disciples at Ephesus who had formerly believed and had been baptized of John's baptism. Yet, when they learned of the one baptism, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 19:3-5. These believing disciples were baptized the second time. Another baptism of New Testament times was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, however, was never at any time given as a command to be obeyed. No man is ever, nor may ever, administer Holy Spirit baptism. John the Baptist declared that only Christ was the administration of the Holy Spirit baptism, Matthew 3:11. The element of Holy Spirit baptism was the Holy Spirit. It was not a baptism by the Holy Spirit, but baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit were completely overwhelmed, submerged, and possessed by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise given to the apostles and fulfilled on Pentecost, the record of which is found in the second chapter of Acts. The purpose was to reveal God's will to all mankind, offering remission of sins in the name of Christ, to bring to the remembrance of the apostles Christ's teaching, and to guide them into all truth, as we read in John 14:26 and the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. One thing is certain, that is, Holy Spirit baptism is one, water baptism is one. 1 + 1 = 2, therefore, 2 baptisms. But Paul says there is, quote, one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. The baptism of fire was promised in Matthew 3:11 and 12. With Christ as the administrator, with hell fire, the element, and future punishment as its purpose. Verse 12 of this text leaves no doubt that the baptism with fire would occur when the righteous are separated from the unrighteous. In Palestine, the Jews often used a fan in separating the chaff from the wheat. But when Christ comes again, he will thoroughly purge this floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, the Bible says. The baptism of fire yet to come and is yet future. It is the punishment of wicked in hell. When our Lord comes, he will thoroughly purge by separating the wheat from the chaff, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, the Bible declared. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? There can be no denial of the fact that the inspired apostle declared that there is one baptism, Ephesians 4:5. Observe the key word is in this text. It is present tense, today, now, since the day of Pentecost, including the day Paul wrote those words to the church at Ephesus. He said, there is one baptism. The baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are in the past. The baptism of fire is yet to come. Therefore, today, there is one baptism. Baptism in water, for the remission of sins, the Bible says. To wash away thy sins, the Bible says. Surely, one baptism. My friends, baptism is not a mere ceremony or church ordinance. It is a solemn act of obedience unto God. To reject the command of baptism is to reject the gospel of Christ, because everyone must admit that baptism is a part of the gospel. If one can be saved without baptism, he can be saved without obeying the gospel. To reject baptism is to reject the counsel of God. In Luke chapter 7, verse 30, it is recorded that the lawyers and Pharisees rejected for themselves the counsel of God, not being baptized of him. My friends, will you not obey the commands of the Lord? To every man on earth he commands, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Hear him, my friends, when he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?